Afternoon Theatre.
Serious comedy by Edward Bulwer-Lytton, with John Pullen as Alfred Evelyn Esquire, a poor scholar, and John Gabriel as Sir John Vesey, Baron, Knight of the Guelph, FRS, FSA, etc. The action takes place in London in 1840.
He says, act too precisely, Georgina. Dear Sir John, as since the death of my sainted Maria, that's his wife, she made him a martyr. Now he makes her a saint.
Well, Papa, as since her death?
I have been living in chambers where I cannot so well invite ladies. You will allow me to bring Mr. Sharp, the lawyer, to read the will of the late Mr. Mordaunt, to which I am appointed executor, at your house. Your daughter being the nearest relation, I shall be with you at 2 precisely, Henry Graves.
And you really feel sure, Papa, that poor Mr. Mordaunt has made me his heiress?
Aye. The richest heiress in England. Can you doubt it? Are you not his nearest relation? Niece by your poor mother, his own sister. Sit down, Georgie. Upon this most happy, I mean melancholy occasion, I feel that I may trust you with a secret. You see this fine house, our fine servants, our fine plate, our fine dinners. Everyone thinks Sir John Vesey a rich man.
And are you not, Papa?
Not a bit of it. All humbug, child. All humbug upon my soul. There are two rules in life. First, men are valued not for what they are, but for what they seem. Second, if you have no merit or money of your own, you must trade on the merits and money of other people. My father got the title by services in the army and died penniless. On the strength of his services, I got a pension of 400 a year. On the strength of 400 a year, I took credit for 800. On the strength of 800, I married your mother with 10,000 pounds. On the strength of 10,000, I took credit for 40,000 and paid Dickie Gossip 3 guineas a week to go about everywhere calling me Stingy Jack.
A disagreeable nickname, Papa.
But a valuable reputation. When a man is called stingy, it's as much as calling him rich. And when a man's called rich, why, he's a man universally respected. On the strength of my respectability, I wheeled a constituency, changed my politics, resigned my seat to a minister, who could offer nothing less in return than a patent office of 2,000 a year. That's the way to succeed in life. Humbug, my dear. All humbug upon my soul.
Well, I must say that you...
Know the world? To be sure. Now, for your fortune. As I spend all that I have, I can have nothing to leave you. Yet even without counting your uncle, you've always passed for an heiress on the credit of your expectations from the savings of Stingy Jack. The same with your education. I never grudged anything to make a show. Never stuffed your head with the histories and homilies. But you draw, you sing, you dance, you walk well into a room. And that's the way young ladies are educated nowadays, in order to become a pride to their parents and a blessing to their husband. That is, when they have caught him. Apropos of a husband, you know we thought of Sir Frederick Blunt.
Oh, Papa, he's charming.
He was so, my dear, before we knew your poor uncle was dead. But an heiress, such as you will be, should look out for a duke. Where the deuce is Evelyn this morning?
I've not seen him, Papa. What a strange character he is, so sarcastic. And yet he can be agreeable.
A humorist, a cynic. One never knows how to take him. My private secretary, a poor cousin, has not got a shilling. And yet, hang me if he doesn't keep us all at a sort of distance.
But why do you take him to live with us, Papa, since there's no good to be got by it?
There you are wrong. He's a great deal of talent. Prepares my speeches, writes my pamphlets, looks up my calculations. Besides, he is our cousin. He has no salary. Kindness to a poor relation always tells well in the world. And benevolence is a useful virtue, particularly when you have it for nothing. With our other cousin, Clara, it was different. Her father thought fit to leave me her guardian, though she had not a penny. A mere useless encumbrance. So I got my half sister, Lady Franklin, to take her off my hands.
How much longer is Lady Franklin's visit to be?
I don't know, my dear. The longer the better. For her husband left her a good deal of money at her own disposal. Ah, here she comes with Clara. My dear sister, we were just loud in your praise.
Indeed.
But how's this? Not in mourning.
Why should I go into mourning for a man I never saw?
There may be a legacy.
Then there'll be less cause for affliction.
But, Clara, I see you are more attentive to the proper decorum. Yet you are only very, very distantly connected with the deceased. A third cousin, I think.
Mr. Mordaunt once assisted my father. And this poor dress is all the gratitude I can show him.
Gratitude? I'm afraid the minx has expectations. What a crowd of relations this will brings to light. Mr. Stouch, the political economist, Lord Glossmore.
Whose grandfather kept a pawnbroker shop and who, accordingly, entertains the profoundest contempt for everything popular, parvenu, and plebeian.
Sir Frederick Blunt?
Sir Frederick Blunt, you mean? Who objects to the letter R as being too rough and therefore dwarfs its acquaintance. A man of fashion in the last century was riotous and thoughtless. In this, he is tranquil and egotistical. He never does anything that is silly or says anything that is wise. I beg your pardon, Georgina. I believe Sir Frederick is an admirer of yours. Then, too, our poor cousin, the scholar. Oh, Mr. Evelyn, there you are.
Evelyn.
Evelyn, the very person I wanted. Where have you been all day? Have you seen to those papers? Have you written my epitaph on poor Mordaunt? Latin, you know. Have you reported my speech at Exeter Hall? And have you mended all the old pens in the study?
And have you brought me the black cloth silk?
And did you see what was really the matter with my bay horse?
Ma'am? Sir? Miss Vesey? Miss Douglas? You want something of me? Paley observes that to assist even the undeserving tends to the better regulation of our charitable feelings. No apologies, I am quite at your service.
Now he's in one of his humors.
You allow him strange liberties, Sir John.
You will be the less surprised at that, madam, when I inform you that Sir John allows me nothing else.
Oh?
I am now about to draw on his benevolence.
Sir John, I'm in the way, I see. For I know your benevolence is so delicate that you never allow anyone to detect it.
I could not do your commissions today, sir. I have been to visit a poor woman who was my nurse and my mother's last friend. She is very poor, very sick, dying. And she owes 6 months' rent.
You know I should be most happy to do anything for yourself, but the nurse... Some people's nurses are always ill. There are so many impostors about. We'll talk of it tomorrow. This most mournful occasion takes up all my attention. Oh, bless me, so late. I've letters to write, and none of the pens are mended.
Mr. Evelyn, what is the address of your nurse?
Miss Vesey, if that poor woman had not closed the eyes of my lost mother, Alfred Evelyn had not been this beggar to your father. Here is the address.
I will certainly attend to it, if I get the fortune.
Georgie, I say, Evelyn.
Yes, Papa?
Coming, sir. I will return, Miss Douglas.
Ah, at least here I may give him comfort. But he will recognize my hand.
What bill are you paying, Clara? Putting up a bank note?
Oh, Lady Franklin, this is for a poor person. I would not have her know whence it came, or she would refuse it. Would you?
Will I what? Give her the money for you?
Yes.
With pleasure. Oh, poor Clara, why, this covers all your savings, and I am so rich.
Nay, I would wish to do all myself. It is a pride, a duty. It is a joy. And I have so few joys.
I will get my maid to copy and direct this. She writes well, and her hand will never be discovered.
Thank you, Lady Franklin.
No one in the room? Oh, Miss Douglas. Oh, pray, don't let me disturb you. Where is Miss Vesey, Georgina?
Shall I tell her you are here, Sir Frederick?
Not for the world. Very pretty girl, this companion.
Cousin Evelyn, what did you think of the panorama the other day?
I cannot talk with civet in the room. A fine puss, gentlemen, that's all perfume. Rather good lines, these.
Sir.
Don't you think so? Cooper.
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 Strange person, Mr. Evelyn, Miss Douglas. Quite a character. Indeed, the panorama gives you no idea of Naples. A delightful place. I make it a rule to go there every second year. I'm very fond of travelling. You'd like Rome? Bad inns, but very fine ruins. Gives you quite a taste for that sort of thing.
How much a dunce that has been sent to Rome excels a dunce that has been kept at home.
That fellow Cooper says very odd things. It is beneath me to quarrel. It will not take long to read the will, I suppose. Poor old Mordaunt. I am his nearest male relation. He was very eccentric. By the way, Miss Douglas, did you remark my curricle? It's bringing curricles into fashion. I should be most happy if you would allow me to drive you out. I should, upon my word.
A wasp!
Huh?
A wasp! Just going to settle. Take care of the wasp, Miss Douglas.
A wasp? Well, don't bring it this way. Some people don't mind them. I've a particular dislike to wasps. They sting damnably.
I beg pardon. It's only a gadfly.
Sir John will be happy to see you in his study, Sir Frederick.
Oh, very well. Upon my word, there's something very nice about this girl. To be sure, I love Georgina, but if this one would take a fancy to me, well, I don't see what harm it could do me. Clara.
Cousin.
Clara. We are orphans both. Dependents, too.
But I on Lady Franklin, who seeks to make me forget
it. Aye, but can the world forget it? Oh, Clara, you know not the tortures that I suffer hourly. When others approach you, young, fair, rich, I wither beneath every smile that you bestow.
But cousin,
no, speak not. My heart has broken its silence, and you shall hear the rest. For you I have endured the weary bondage of this house. Yes, to see you, hear you. Oh, Clara, you are all in the world to me. I love you.
No, Evelyn. Alfred, no. It is madness.
Madness? Nay. I am poor, penniless, true. But I have knowledge, patience, health, and my love for you gives me at last ambition. With you to toil for, your path to smooth, I promise to win for you fame and fortune. Oh, do not withdraw your hand. Shall it not be mine?
Ah, Evelyn, never.
Never?
Our union is impossible, and to talk of love were to deceive both.
Because I am poor.
And I, too. A marriage of privation, of penury, of days that dread the morrow. Will never return to this.
Enough. I deceived myself. I fancied that I too was loved. I, whose youth is already half gone with care and toil, whose mind is soured, whom nobody can love, who should have loved no one.
Oh, what shall I say? Evelyn, cousin.
Madam.
Alfred, I...
Reject me.
Yes, it is Paul.
It was but yesterday. Her hand trembled when mine touched it. And the rose I gave her, she pressed her lips to it when she seemed as if she saw me not. But it was a trap, for I was as poor then as now. This will be a jest for them all. Well, courage. Now that I care for no one, the world is but a chessboard, and I will sit down and play with fortune.
I will tell Sir John, my lord. Fine day, sir. Any news from the east?
Yes, Lord Glossmore. All the wise men have gone back there.
Not all. For here comes Mr. Stout, the great political economist.
Good morning, Glossmore.
Glossmore, the parvenu.
Afraid I might be late. Being detained at the vestry, you know. Astonishing how ignorant the English poor are. Took me an hour and a half to beat it into the head of a stupid old widow with 9 children that to allow her 3 shillings a week was against all the rules of public morality.
Excellent. Admirable. Your hand, sir.
What? You approve such doctrines, Mr. Evelyn? Are old women only fit to be starved?
To squander money upon those who starve is only to afford encouragement to starvation.
Atrocious principles. Give me the good old times when it was the duty of the rich to succor the distressed.
On second thoughts, you are right, my lord. I, too, know a poor woman, ill, dying, in want. Shall she, too, perish?
Perish? In a Christian country? Heaven forbid.
What, then, will you give her?
Sir, the parish ought to give...
No, certainly not.
Come along, Sir Frederick. Georgina. How do you do, gentlemen? This is a most melancholy meeting. The poor deceased, what a man he was.
I was christened Frederick after him. He was my first cousin.
Quite so, Sir Frederick. And Georgina, his own niece, next of kin. An excellent man, though old. A kind heart, but no liver. I sent him twice a year 30 dozen of the Cheltenham waters.
And I sent him the parliamentary debates regularly, bound in calf. He was my second cousin, sensible man. Never married to increase the surplus population and fritter away his money on his own children. And now...
he reaps the benefit of celibacy and the prospective gratitude of every cousin he had in the world.
Hush, hush. Decency, Lady Franklin, decency.
Mr. Graves, Mr. Sharp.
Ah, yes, Mr. Graves. That's Sharp, the lawyer who brought the will from Calcutta. Ah, sir. Ah, Mr. Graves. A sad occasion.
But everything in life is sad. Oh, be comforted, Miss Vesey. True, you have lost an uncle. But I have lost a wife. Such a wife. The first of her sex and the second cousin of the defunct.
Take some refreshment. A glass of wine.
Thank you. Oh, very fine sherry. My poor sainted Maria, sherry was her wine. Ah, Lady Franklin, you knew her. Nothing in life can charm me now. Oh, monstrous fine woman, that.
And now to business. Evelyn, you may retire.
Evelyn, any relation to Alfred Evelyn?
The same, Mr. Sharp.
Cousin to the deceased, 7 times removed. Be seated, sir. There may be some legacy, though trifling. All the relations, however distant, should be present.
Clara is related. I will go for her.
Ah, Mr. Evelyn, I hope you will come in for something. A few hundreds, or even more.
Silence. Hush. Attention.
Here she is.
Sit down quickly, Clara. Now, Mr. Sharp.
The will is very short, being all personal property. He was the man that always came to the point.
I wish there were more like him.
I, Frederick James Mordaunt of Calcutta, being at the present date of sound mind, though infirm body, do hereby give will and bequeath in primis to my second cousin, Benjamin Stout Esquire of Pall Mall, London, being the value of the parliamentary debates with which he has been pleased to trouble me for some time past, deducting the carriage thereof, which he always forgot to pay, the sum of £14.02.
What? £14? Oh, hang the old miser.
Decency, decency. Proceed, sir.
Item, to Sir Frederick Blunt, Baronet, my nearest male relative. Oh,
poor old boy.
Being, as I am informed, the best-dressed young gentleman in London, and in testimony to the only merit I have ever heard he possessed, the sum of £500 to buy a dressing case.
Very poor wit. Very, very low.
Silence now, will you?
Item, to Charles Lord Glossmore, who asserts that he is my relation, my collection of dried butterflies and the pedigree of the Mordaunts from the reign of King John.
Butterflies? Pedigree? I disown the plebeian.
Upon my word, this is revolting. Decency.
Go on. Item, to Sir John Vesey, Baron, Knight of the Guelph, FRS, FSA, etc., who married my sister and who sends me every year the Cheltenham waters, which nearly gave me my death, I bequeath the empty bottles.
Why, the ungrateful rascal!
Item, to Henry Graves, Esquire of Albany.
Gentlemen, my usual luck, not even a ring, I dare swear.
The sum of £5,000 in the 3%.
I wish you joy.
Joy? 3%, funds sure to go, had it been land now, though only an acre. Just like my luck.
Item, to my niece, Georgina Vesey, the sum of £10,000 India stock, being, with her father's reputed savings, as much as a single woman ought to possess.
And what the devil then does the old fool do with all his money?
And with the aforesaid legacies and exceptions, I do will and bequeath the whole of my fortune in India stock, bonds, exchequer bills, 3% consols, and in the Bank of Calcutta to Alfred Evelyn, now or formerly of Trinity College, Cambridge, being, I am told, an oddity like myself, the only one of my relations who never fawned on me, and who, having known privation, made the better employ well. And now, Mr. Evelyn, I have only to wish you joy and give you this letter from the deceased. I believe it is important.
Ah, Clara, if you had but loved me.
His wealth, even more than poverty, separates us forever.
Go, Georgina. Put a good face on it. He's an immense match. My dear fellow, I wish you joy. You're a great man now, a very great man.
Her voice alone silent.
If I can be of any use to you, sir.
Or I, sir.
Or I. Shall I put you up at the club? Tush, 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 tush. Mr. Evelyn is at home here. Always looked on him as a son. Nothing in the world we wouldn't do for him. Nothing.
Lend me £10 for my old nurse.
Oh, of course.
Yes, Mr. Grab. This is the Evelyn House.
There are a great many people here.
No one more the fashion than Mr. Evelyn. Money makes the man, sir. Ah, here he comes.
A lady, as usual.
Ah, Tabaret, your designs for the draperies. Very well. And what do you want, Mr. Crimson?
If you would let me take your portrait, Mr. Evelyn, it would make my fortune. Everyone says you're the finest judge of paintings.
Of painting? Are you sure I'm a judge of painting?
Oh, sir. Didn't you buy the great Correggio for £4,000?
So £4,000 makes me an excellent judge of painting.
No.
I'll call on you, Mr. Crimson. Good day. Mr. Grant.
Yes.
Oh, you're the publisher who once refused me £5 for my poem. You are right. It was sad doggerel.
Doggerel, Mr. Evelyn, it was sublime. But times were bad. But if you give me the preference now, I'll push it, sir. I only publish for poets in high life, sir. And a gentleman of your station ought to be pushed. £500 for the poem, sir.
£500 when I don't want it, where £5 once would have seemed a fortune. Go, gentlemen. Go. Leave me. Stout, you look heated.
Oh, I hear you have just bought the great Grogginhill property.
It is true. Sharp says it's a bargain.
Well, my dear friend Hopkins, member of the Grogginhill, can't live another month. The patriot Popkins intends to start for the borough the instant Hopkins is dead. Your interest will secure his election. Put yourself forward in the march of enlightenment. By all that is bigoted, here comes Glossmore.
So lucky to find you at home, Ewan. Hopkins of Grogginhill is not long for this world. Keep your interest for young Lord Cypher. The Constitution depends on his return. Vote for Cypher.
Popkins is your man.
Enlightenment and Popkins, Cypher and the Constitution. I am puzzled. Stout, I am not known at Grogginhill.
Your property is known there.
But purity of election.
To be sure, Cypher bribes abominably. Frustrate his schemes. Turn every man out of his house who votes against enlightenment and Popkins.
Cypher has a stake in the country. We'll have £50,000 a year. Cypher will never give a vote without considering beforehand how people of £50,000 a year will be affected by the motion.
Popkins is all for economy.
Sure.
There's a sad waste of the public money. I'll bring Popkins tomorrow.
Keep yourself free till I present Cypher to you.
The return of Popkins will be an era in history.
If Cypher fails, the Constitution is gone.
Ah, Graves, my dear friend. What a world this is. It fawns on me now.
It is an atrocious world. It'll be set on fire one day, and that's some comfort.
Graves, of all my new friends, and their name is Legion, you are the only one I esteem. There is sympathy between us. We take the same views of life. I'm cordially glad to see you.
Ah, why should you be glad to see a man so miserable?
Because I am miserable myself.
You? You have not been condemned to lose a wife.
But plague on it, man, I may be condemned to take one. Listen, I want a confidant. Left fatherless when yet a boy. My poor mother grudged herself food to give me education. Someone had told her that learning was better than house and land. That's a lie, Grace.
Scandalous lie, even.
On the strength of that lie, I was put to school. Sent to college. A sizar. Do you know what a sizar is? In pride, he is a gentleman. In knowledge, a scholar. And he crawls about amidst gentlemen and scholars with the livery of a pauper on his back. I carried off the great prizes. I became distinguished. One day, a young lord insulted me. I retorted. He struck me. Refused apology, refused redress. I was a sizar, a parier, a thing to be struck. Sir, I was at least a man, and I horsewhipped him in the hall before the eyes of the whole college. The next day, the sizar was expelled. the career of a life blasted. I came to London. As long as my mother lived, I had one to toil for. And I did toil, did hope. But she died. And then my spirit broke. I ceased to care what became of me, and submitted to be the poor relation, the hanger-on and gentleman lackey of Sir John Vesey. But I had an object in that. There was one in that house whom I had loved at the first sight.
And were you loved again?
I fancied it, and was deceived. Not an hour before I inherited this wealth, I confessed my love, and was rejected because I was poor. You remember the letter which Sharp gave me when the will was read?
Perfectly. What were the contents?
I'll read it to you. Having selected you as my heir, I now not impose a condition, but ask a favor. My two nearest female relations are my niece, Georgina, and my third cousin, Clara Douglas, the daughter of a once dear friend. If you could see in either of these one whom you could make your wife, such would be a marriage I would seek to bring about. My friend, this is not a legal condition. The fortune does not rest on it. Yet need I say that my gratitude considers it a moral obligation. Of the two, I would rather marry where I should exact the least. A marriage to which each can bring sober esteem and calm regard may not be happiness, but it may be content. But to marry one who you could adore and whose heart is closed to you, oh, such a marriage would be a hell, the more terrible because paradise was in sight.
Georgina is pretty, but vain and frivolous.
You may misjudge her. She may have a nobler nature than appears on the surface. On the day, but before the hour in which the will was read, a letter in a strange or disguised hand from an unknown friend to Alfred Evelyn, enclosing what to a girl would have been a considerable sum, was sent to a poor woman for whom I had implored charity, and whose address I had given only to Georgina.
Why not assure yourself?
Because I have not dared. For sometimes, against my reason, I have hoped that it might be Clara. Graves, I detest that girl.
Who? Georgina?
No, Clara. But I've already taken some revenge upon her. I've bribed Sharp to say that Morden's letter to me contained a codicil leaving Clara Douglas £20,000.
And didn't it?
Not a farthing. But I'm glad of it. I've paid the money. She's no more a dependent. No one can insult her now. She owes it all to me and does not get it. Owes it to me, whom she rejected. Me, the poor scholar. There's some spite in that, eh?
You're a fine fellow, Evelyn, and we understand each other. Perhaps Clara may have seen the address and dictated the letter after all.
Do you think so? I'll go to the house this instant.
Hmm? Then I'll go with you. Lady Franklin is a fine woman. But to love is a boy's madness.
To feel is to suffer.
To hope is to be deceived.
I have done with romance.
Mine is buried with Maria.
If Clara did but write this...
Make haste, or Lady Franklin will be out. A veil of tears.
A veil of tears indeed.
Lady Franklin, you really have the sweetest temper.
I hope so, for it's the most becoming thing a woman can wear. Think of that when you marry Clara. Talking of marriage, I've certainly made a conquest of Mr. Graves.
I thought he was inconsolable.
For his sainted Maria, poor man, not contented with plaguing him while she lived, she must needs haunt him now she is dead.
But why does he regret her?
Because he has everything to make him happy. Easy fortune and good health. And since it is his delight to be miserable, he takes the only excuse the world will allow him. Besides, it's the way with widowers whenever they mean to marry again. But Clara, you seem pale, unhappy. Tears, too.
No, not tears. No.
Ever since Mr. Morden left you £20,000, everyone admires you. Sir Frederick Blunt is desperately smitten.
Oh, Sir Frederick.
Clara, be comforted. I know your secret. I am sure that Evelyn loves you.
He did, but it is past now. He misconceived me when he was poor, and now he is rich. It is not for me to explain.
My dear, happiness is too rare to be sacrificed to a scruple. Why does he come here so often?
Perhaps for Georgina.
Georgina is my niece. She is handsome and accomplished, but her father's worldliness has spoilt her nature. She is not worthy of Evelyn. Let me tell him that you dictated the letter and sent that money to his old nurse.
He would have guessed it had his love been like mine.
Guessed it? Nonsense. The handwriting unknown to him, every reason to think it came from Georgina. Let me tell him this.
No, Lady Franklin, promise me. I have refused to share his poverty, and I should die with shame if he thought I had now grown enamored of his wealth. Promise.
I promise.
Thank you. Oh, forgive me. I am not well.
What fools these girls are. They take as much pains to lose a husband as a poor widow does to get one.
Have you seen the Times newspaper? Where the deuce is it?
I think it is in my room. Shall I fetch it?
My dear sister, you're the best creature. Do.
Certainly.
Unnatural conspirator against your own family. What can this letter they speak of be? I recollect.
Papa, I want...
Yes, I know what you want well enough, Georgina. Tell me, were you aware that Clara had sent money to that old nurse Evelyn Bordas about the day of the will?
No. He gave me the address and I promised
gave
that...
Gave you the address? That's lucky. Hush.
Mr. Graves, Mr. Evelyn.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Here is the newspaper.
I read the newspapers. They'll tell you what this world is made of. Daily calendars of roguery and woe. Advertisements from quacks, moneylenders, cheap warehouses, and spotted boys with two heads. Turn to the other column. Police reports, bankruptcies, swindling, forgery. And that's a newspaper.
Ah, you should always wear that agreeable smile. You look so much younger, so much handsomer.
Ma'am, charming creature.
Captain Dudley Smooth.
Good morning, Gerton. Ah, Miss Veezy, you have no idea of the conquests you made at Almack's last night.
So that's the celebrated Dudley Smooth,
more commonly called Deadly Smooth. The finest player at whist, ecarte, billiards, chess, and piquet between this and the pyramids. And the sweetest manners. Always calls you by your Christian name. But take care how you play cards with him, Evelyn.
He does not cheat, I suppose.
No, but he always wins. He's an uncommonly clever fellow.
My dear John, how well you are looking. A new lease of life. Introduce me to Mr. Evelyn.
Sir, it's an honor I've long ardently desired.
Sir Frederick Blunt.
How do you do, Sir John? Ah, Evelyn, I wish so much to see you.
It is my misfortune to be visible.
A little this way. You know, perhaps, that I once paid my addresses to Miss Veezy. But since that very eccentric will, Sir John has shuffled me off and hints at a prior attachment.
A prior attachment?
Mm. I want you to do me a favor with regard to Miss Douglas.
Clara?
Clara has £20,000, and I think Clara has always liked me a little.
You?
It is whispered about that you mean to propose to Georgina.
Indeed.
Now, as you are all in all with the family, if you could say a word for me to Miss Clara, I don't see what harm it could do me.
Step, ma'am, speak for yourself. Here she is. Miss Douglas, what do you think of Sir Frederick Blunt? Observe him. He is well-dressed, young, tolerably handsome, bows with an air, has plenty of small talk, everything to captivate. Yet he thinks that if he and I were suitors to the same lady, I should be more successful because I am richer. What say you? Is love an auction? Do women's hearts go to the highest bidder?
Their hearts? No.
But their hands, yes. You turn away. You dare not answer that question.
You are the last person to talk so, Mr. Evelyn. You, whose wealth is your smallest attraction.
Shh, Georgina. You must not turn my little girl's head, Evelyn. Oh, you're a sad fellow. I must show you Georgina's last drawings. She has wonderfully improved since you gave her lessons in perspective.
Oh, no, Papa. Pray, no.
Nonsense, child. What do you say to these, Evelyn?
Beautiful. A view from Tivoli. Is there not a little fault in that coloring? She looks down when he speaks to her. She loves that coxcomb. Well, I too can be loved elsewhere. I too can see smiles and blushes on the face of another.
Are you not well?
I beg pardon. Yes, you are indeed improved. Oh, who so accomplished as Miss Veezy?
Yes, Sir Frederick. The concert was very crowded.
I wish you would take my opera box next Saturday. 'Tis the best in the house, Miss Clara. I'm not rich, but I spend what I have on myself. I make a point to have everything the best, in a quiet way. Best opera box, best dogs, best horses, best house of its kind. I want nothing to complete my establishment but the best wife.
That will come in good time, Sir Frederick.
Why? What is this? My own likeness?
You must not look at that. You must not, indeed. I did not know that was there.
Your own portrait, Evelyn. Why, child, I was not aware you took likenesses. That's something new. Upon my word, it's a strong resemblance.
Oh, no, it does not do him justice. Give it to me. I will tear it.
Nothing. You shall not.
But where is the new guitar you meant to buy, Miss Vizier?
The guitar? To tell you a secret, she applied the money I gave her for it to a case of charity several months ago, the very day the will was read. I saw the letter lying on the table with the money in it. Mind, not a word to her. She'd never forgive me.
Letter? Money? What was the name of the person she relieved? Not Stanton?
I don't remember, indeed.
Here is the letter, but this is not her hand.
No, I observed at the time it was not her hand, but I got from her that she did not wish the thing to be known and had employed someone else to copy it. May I see the letter? Yes, I think this is the wording. But how did she know Mrs. Stanton's address? You never gave it to me.
I gave it her. Sir John, to a man like me, this simple act of generosity is worth all the accomplishments in the world. Miss Vizier, I will be honest. I have loved another. Deeply, truly, bitterly, vainly. I cannot offer you, as I did her, the fair first love of the human heart. But if esteem, if gratitude, if these can tempt you to accept my hand and fortune, my life shall be a study to deserve your confidence.
The happiest day of my life.
What have I done? Oh, heaven. Clara.
Be happy, my cousin. With my whole heart, I say it. Be happy, Alfred Evelyn.
Pressed you to fix the wedding day, Georgina?
No, Papa. And since he proposed, he comes here so seldom and seems so gloomy. Poor Sir Frederick was 20 times more amusing.
But Evelyn is 50 times as rich.
Sir Frederick dresses so well.
You'll have magnificent diamonds.
My own kind, Papa. You always put things so pleasantly. Do you not fear lest he discover that Clara sent the letter to his old nurse?
No, and I shall get Clara out of the house. But there is something else that makes me very uneasy. You know that no sooner did Evelyn come into possession of his fortune than he launched out in the style of a prince, and he's bought a great estate in the country.
But if he can afford it?
Oh, so long as he stopped there, I had no apprehension. But they say he's taken to gambling, and he's always with Captain Smooth. No fortune can stand Deadly Smooth. We must press the marriage at once.
Hey-ho, poor Frederick. You don't think he really is attached to Clara?
Upon my word, I can't say. Put on your bonnet and come to Stores and Mortimer's to choose the jewels.
The jewels, yes. The drive will do me good. So, you'll send Clara away. She's so very deceitful.
Never fear. Tell her to come to me.
Yes, Papa.
I must press on this marriage. Georgina has not wit enough to manage him. At least not till he's her husband. Then all women find it smooth sailing. But I can't think of his taking to gambling. For I love him as a son. And I look on his money as my own. Ah, Clara, my love.
Sir?
My dear, what I'm going to say may appear a little rude and unkind, but you know my character is frankness. To the point, then. My child, I'm aware of your attachment to Mr. Evelyn.
My attachment?
It is generally remarked. They say you are falling away. Poor girl, I pity you. I do indeed.
Oh, my dear Clara, don't cry. But Georgina is so unhappy at what everyone says of your attachment.
Everyone?
That it preys on her spirits. It even irritates her temper. And I fear little jealousies and suspicions will embitter their future union. I'm a father. Forgive me.
Embitter their union? Oh, never. What would you have me do, sir?
You are your own mistress. Mrs. Carlton, aunt to my late wife, is going abroad for a short time and would be delighted if you would accompany her.
It is the favor I would have asked of you. When does she go?
In 5 days, next Monday. You, forgive me?
Oh, sir, thank you.
Suppose, then, you write a line to her yourself and settle it at once.
The carriage, Sir John. Miss Beasley is ready.
Thank you. James, if Mr. Sirius, the clergyman, calls, say I'm gone to the great meeting at Exeter Hall. If Lord Spruce calls, say you believe I'm gone to the rehearsal of Cinderella. And just put the Duke of Lofty's card carelessly on the hall table, will you?
Yes, sir.
By going abroad, I shall at least escape the struggle and the shame. A few days, and we are parted forever. A few weeks, and another will bear his name.
Miss Beasley, out?
Yes, Miss Evelyn.
Well, I will write a line. Clara.
Do not let me disturb you, Miss Douglas.
I was about to go.
I see that my presence is always odious to you. That is why I come so seldom. But be cheered, madam. I am here about to fix the day of my marriage. And I shall then go into the country to... In short, this is the last time we shall meet.
Alfred, it is true this may be the last time we shall meet. I am making arrangements to quit England.
To quit England?
But before I go, let me thank you for many a past kindness.
To quit England?
Evelyn, now that you are betrothed to another, I have that on my mind which only a friend, a sister, might presume to say to you.
Miss Douglas, Clara, if there is aught that I could do, if my life, my heart's blood could render to you one such service as my gold can give to others, speak.
We are friends, then. You are again my cousin, my brother.
Brother?
I speak as a sister. Oh, Evelyn, when you inherited this vast wealth, I often thought that in after years, when far away, as I soon shall be, I should say to my own heart, weeping proud tears, once this man loved me.
No more, Clara, no more.
But have you been true to your own self? Pomp, luxuries, follies, they belie the soul of Alfred Evelyn. Oh, pardon me. I should not have dared this had I not thought at times that
these follies, these vanities were your own work? You thought that and you were right. But you, did you not reject me because I was poor? I wished to show you the luxuries, the splendor I thought you prized. But in vain. Alike my poverty and my wealth. You loved me not in either. And my fate is sealed.
A happy fate, Evelyn, you love.
And at last I am beloved. Georgina perhaps is vain and light.
No. And now, there is nothing unkind between us, not even regret. You will rise to your nobler self. And so, farewell.
No, stay. You still feel an interest in my fate. Have I been deceived?
We part as friends.
Friends? Is that all? All the sweet enchantment known but once, never to return. And the one who forgets the soonest, the one who robs your earth forever of its summer, comes to you and says, let us part, friend. Go, Clara, go. And be happy if you can.
Oh, cruel, cruel to the last. Heaven forgive you.
Does she love me? Have I been the slave of jealous anger? But I have made my choice.
Lady Franklin is dressing, sir.
Well, I'll wait.
Mr. Graves.
Ah, Evelyn. I have just heard that the borough of Grogginhold is vacant at last. Why not stand yourself? With your property, you might come in without even a personal canvas.
I, to be one of the wranglers? Never. And yet Clara spoke of ambition.
To be sure, after all, Graves, corrupt as mankind are, it is our duty to try, at least, to make them a little better.
An Englishman owes something to his country.
He does indeed. East winds, fog, rheumatism, pulmonary complaints, and taxes.
You seem agitated. A quarrel with your intended? When you've been married a month, you won't know what to do without one.
You are a pleasant comforter.
Do you deserve a comforter? One morning you tell me you love Clara, or at least detest her, which is the same thing. Poor Maria often said she detested me. And that very afternoon you proposed to Georgina.
Clara will easily console herself, thanks to Sir Frederick.
Nevertheless, Clara has had the bad taste to refuse him. I have it from Lady Franklin.
Is it possible?
But what then? You must marry Georgina, who, to believe Lady Franklin, is sincerely attached to your fortune. Evelyn, you have been duped by them.
By them? If deceived, I have been my own dupe.
To be sure, you tried Clara in your poverty. It was a safe experiment to try Georgina in your wealth.
That is true.
You have an excellent father-in-law. Sir John positively weeps when he talks of your income.
Sir John, possibly. But Georgina?
Plays affection to you in the afternoon after practicing with Sir Frederick in the morning.
What do you mean?
I see her very often walking in the square with Sir Frederick. But man is born to be deceived. You look nervous. Your hand trembles. That comes of gaming. They say at the clubs that you play deeply.
Ah, do they say that? A few hundreds lost or won. A cheap opiate. Anything that can lay the memory to sleep. The poor man drinks and the rich man gambles. But you are right. It is a base recourse. I will play no more.
I'm delighted to hear it, for your friend Captain Smooth has ruined half the young heirs in London. Even Sir John is alarmed. By the by, I forgot. Do you bank with Flash, Brisk, Credit and Company?
Why do you ask me?
Because Sir John has just heard that they're in a very bad way and begs you to withdraw anything you have in their hands.
Says Sir John is alarmed at my gambling.
He even told me he should go himself to the club this evening to watch you.
Good. I will be there.
But you will promise not to play.
I feel it is impossible to give it up.
No! Steph, man, be as wretched as you please. Break your heart. That's nothing. But, Danny, take care of your pocket.
I will play with Captain Smooth. I will lose as much as I please. Thousands. Millions. And if he presumed to spy on my losses, hang me if I don't lose Sir John himself into the bargain. What was the bank you mentioned? Flash, Brisk and Credit?
Yes.
It's too late to draw out today. Tell Sir John I'm very much obliged to him, and he'll find me at the club any time before daybreak, hard at work with my friend, Smooth.
You don't come often to the club, Stout.
No, time is money, Gosmore. An hour spent at a club is unproductive capital.
Deep work tonight, I suspect. For Smooth is drinking lemonade. Keeps his head clear. Monstrous clever dog.
How do you do, Gosmore? How are you, Stout?
How do you do?
Aha! Smooth! You owe me my revenge.
My dear Albert, anything to oblige? Come. Evening, Gosmore. Even at it again, eh?
Yes. Smooth sticks to him like a leech blunt. Clever fella, Smooth.
Will you make up a whopper?
Huh? We've got two others.
Yes, Flat and Green.
Bad players.
I make it a rule to play with bad players. It's 5% in one's favor.
You're a clever fella, Blunt.
Oh, 1,000 pardons, my dear Alfred. 90 repeat, 10 cards, game.
Game? Before we go on, Smooth, one question. This is Thursday. How much do you calculate to win of me before Tuesday next?
As a share, Alfred. He is so droll.
40 games a night, 4 nights minus Sunday, our usual stakes. That would be right, I think. There. Is my calculation right?
Quite, if I win all, which is next to impossible.
It shall be possible to win twice as much on one condition. Can you keep a secret?
My dear Alfred, I have kept myself. I never inherited a farthing. I never spent less than 4,000 a year. And I never told a soul how I managed it.
Hark ye, then. A word with you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Perfectly. Anything to oblige?
It is for you to deal.
My precious son-in-law, that is to be, spending my consequence and making a fool of himself.
Well, Sir John, you don't play?
Play blunt? No. Confound him. Lost again.
Hang the cards. Double the stakes.
Just as you please. Done. Anything to oblige.
Done indeed.
I never lose. I never play in the deadly Smooth set.
Lord have mercy on us. Smooth has 7 for his point. What's the stakes?
Don't disturb us. Stakes, Sir John, immense. Was ever such luck? Oh, do stand back, Sir John. I'm getting irritable.
£100 on the next game, Evelyn.
Nonsense, nonsense. Don't disturb him. All the fishes come to the bait. Sharks and minnows all nibbling away at my son-in-law.
£100, Blunt. Done. Treble the stakes, Smooth.
I'm on the rack. Be cool, Evelyn. Take care, my dear boy.
What?
You have four queens? Confound the card. A fresh pack.
I never before saw Evelyn out of temper. He must be losing immensely.
I'm in a cold sweat, Glassmore.
Yes, have a fellow that smooth, Sir John, eh? £100 on this game we win?
Yes, £100, Glassmore.
200 on this game, Evelyn.
Dumb stuff. £200. Ideal.
Aren't you ashamed of yourselves? His own cousins. All in a conspiracy against him.
No more. I've done. Glassmore, Stout, Blunt, I'll pay you tomorrow. Death, this is ruinous.
Ruinous. I dare say it is. What has he lost? What has he lost, Smooth? Not much, eh?
Oh, a trifle, dear John. Excuse me, we never tell our winners.
Smooth, this club is so noisy. Come to my house, come. Champagne and a broiled bone. Nothing venture, nothing have. The luck must turn, and by Jupiter, we'll make a night of it.
A night of it? For heaven's sake, Evelyn, think what you're about. Think of Georgina's feelings. Think of your poor mother. Think of the babes unborn.
I'll think of nothing. Smooth, you don't know what I've lost, man. It's all your fault, distracting my attention. Come, Smooth, a night of it, my boy. A night of it.
Mr. Evelyn has turned gamester. There are strange reports about today. I don't know what to make of it.
Ah, Mr. Tabaret, the upholsterer. You furnish these rooms. All of the best?
Oh, the very best. Mr. Evelyn is not a man to grudge expense, Captain Smooth.
He is not indeed. You've been paid, I suppose, Tabaret.
Oh, no, sir, no. I never send in my bills when a customer is rich.
Not paid. Yes, I think a bow window there would be an improvement. Could it be done easily, Tabaret?
Have you bought the house, sir?
Bought it? It depends. So you have not been paid,
No, sir. No fear of Mr. Evelyn.
Poor fellow. He holds very bad cards. So you've not been paid yet. A good day to you.
Plain as a pikestaff. Staked his very house on an odd trick. Hey, fellow.
Yes, sir?
What's the matter? How's Mr. Evelyn?
Oh, bad. Very bad. Sat up all night with Captain Smooth. Harris, take this note to the Belgian minister of Portland Place. Passport for Ostend. Have the traveling carriage ready.
Passport? What is going on here?
Oh, something wrong in the chest, sir. Change of air, late hours, and Captain Smooth.
But my account.
Call again at Christmas.
At Christmas?
My master is not very well, my lord, but I'll let him know you and Sir Frederick Blunt are here.
I'm very curious to learn the result of his gambling tete-a-tete.
Oh, he's so horridly rich, he can afford even a tete-a-tete with Deadly Smooth.
Poor stingy Jack. Why, Georgina was your intended, Blunt.
Yes, and I really like the girl, though at a peak I proposed to her cousin. But what can a man do against money? Ah, Evelyn.
So, gentlemen, we've a little account to settle. 100 each.
Don't talk of it.
Well, then I won't. A word with you, Blunt. You'd hardly believe it, but I'd rather not pay you just at present. My money is locked up, and I must wait, you know, for the Grogginhole rents. So instead of owing you £100, suppose I owe you 5. You can give me a check for the other 4.
And not a word to Glossmore.
Glossmore? The greatest gossip in London? I shall be delighted. Oh, by the way, if you want my grey cab horse, you may have him for £200, and that will make 7.
That's fashionable usury. Your friend does not take interest. He sells you a horse.
Blunt, it's a bargain.
I'll write the check now.
Glossmore, £100 I owe you is rather inconvenient at present. I've a large sum to make up for the Grogginhole property. Perhaps you would lend me 500 or 600 more just to go on with?
Certainly.
A slight mark of friendship and gratitude. I should be very much flattered if you'll accept a splendid grey cab horse I bought today.
cost £200.
Walk today, then I'm safe. My dear fellow, you're always so princely.
Nonsense. Just write the check. And hockey. Not a syllable to Blunt.
He's the town crier.
Here's the check. Wansome's Pall Mall East.
Thank you. So you proposed to Miss Douglas?
Hang it, yes. I could have sworn that she fancied me. Her manner, for instance, that very day you proposed to Miss Veazey.
My check, Evelyn. Wansome's Pall Mall East. Tell me, did you win or lose last night?
Win? Lose? No more of that if you love me. Excuse me, I must dress. I've got a moment to lose. You remember, you dined with me today, 7 o'clock. You'll see Smooth. It may be the last time I shall ever welcome you here.
What do you mean?
What am I saying? Oh, it's merely a joke. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Gosmore?
Blunt.
I'm afraid all's not white.
I inclined your opinion.
But I've sold my grey cab horse.
Grey cab horse? You? What is he really worth now?
Since he is sold, I will tell you. Not a sixpence.
Not a sixpence? He gave it to me.
Oh, that was devilish unhandsome. Do you know, I feel nervous.
Nervous? That has run on stop payment of our checks.
Ransom's Pall Mall East as fast as you can.
Glossmore, we are floored.
Sir, the whole town shall know of it.
Evelyn, you've withdrawn your money from Flash and Brisk.
No, Reds.
No? Well, then you...
You got the check for £500 safety, Evelyn. Too happy to have
my
married.
My best thanks, Sir John. My warmest gratitude. So kind in you. I shall never forget your nobleness of conduct.
Gratitude? Nobleness? I can't have been taken in.
And in a moment of such distress.
Such distress? He picks out the ugliest words in the whole dictionary.
I've done with Smooth. But I'm still a little crippled, and you must do me another favor.
What's coming now, I wonder?
Georgina's fortune is £10,000. I always meant, my dear Sir John, to present you with that little sum.
Oh, Evelyn, your generosity is positively touching.
But I've so many heavy debts at this moment that... But I see Georgina is listening, and I'll say what I have to say to her.
No. Girls don't understand business.
It's the very reason I speak to her. This is an affair not of business, but of feeling. Start. Show Sir John my Correggio.
Therefore, take his Correggio.
My dear Georgina, whatever you may hear said of me, I flatter myself that you feel confidence in my honor.
Can you doubt it?
I confess that I am embarrassed at this moment. I have been weak enough to lose money at play, and there are other demands on me. I promise you never to gamble again as long as I live. My affairs can be retrieved. But for the first few years of our marriage, it may be necessary to retrench.
Retrench?
To live, perhaps, altogether in the country.
Altogether in the country?
To confine ourselves to a modest competence.
Modest competence?
And now, Georgina, you may have it in your power at this moment to save me from much anxiety and humiliation. My money is locked up. My debts of honor must be settled. You are of age, your £10,000 in your own hands. If you could lend it to me for a few weeks, can you give me this proof of your confidence?
I'd best leave it to Papa, Mr. Evelyn.
Well...
You shall hear from me tomorrow. Ah, there's dear Sir Frederick. Excuse me.
My friend, Glossmore Blunt, Sir John, I wish to consult you.
Yes, of course.
This day, 12th month, I succeeded to an immense income. And as by a happy coincidence, on the same day, I secured your esteem. Now, I wish to ask if you think I could have spent that income in a way... more worthy of your good opinion.
Impossible. Excellent taste. Beautiful house.
Very good horses. Especially the grey, Glossmore.
It's my opinion, Alfred, and I'm a judge, that you could not have spent your money better.
Thank you, Smooth. But what say you, Sir John?
You could not have done better.
Certainly. Don't retrench, dear Alfred.
Retrench? Nothing so plebeian.
You reassure me. I own I did think that a man worthy of friends so sincere... might have done something better than feast, dress, drink, play.
Nonsense. We like you the better for it. I wish I had my £600 back, though.
And you are as much my friend now as when you offered me £10 for my old nurse?
1,000 times more so, my dear boy.
Yes, a word, please.
Who is our new friend?
Who? The very man who first announced to me the wealth I have spent so well. What is it, Shark? No. My friends, The bank's broke.
What?
Broke? What bank? Flash Brisk and Company.
And Flash was your brother-in-law, Smooth. I'm very sorry.
Not at all. I did not bank there.
But I warned you, Evelyn. You withdrew.
Alas, no.
Oh, not much in their hands.
I told you the purchase money for Grugenhall was at my bank's. But don't look so frightened. It was not placed with Flash. It is at Hawes.
But I...
Nay, I assure you it is. A mere trifle at Flash is, upon my word. Tomorrow, Sharp, we'll talk of this. One day more. One day, at least, for enjoyment.
Oh, a pretty enjoyment.
And he borrowed £700 of me.
And 600 of me.
And 500 of me.
Oh, a regular Jeremy Diddler. I say, Sir John, you have placed your daughter in a very unsafe investment. Transfer the stock in hand to t'other speculation.
Georgina, I'm afraid we've been very rude to Sir Frederick. A monstrous fine young man.
Sir, I beg your pardon, but Mr. McFinch insists on my giving up this letter instantly.
Oh, Sir John, this fellow McFinch has heard of my misfortunes and insists on being paid. A lawyer's letter, quite insolent.
And, sir, Mr. Taverett is below and declares he won't stir till he's paid.
Won't stir till he's paid? What's to be done, Sir John? Smooth, what's to be done?
If he won't stir till he's paid, make him up a bed and I'll take him in the inventory as one of the fixtures.
Sir, this paper from the sheriff's office, sir.
Oh, what's this? France, the tape. The impudent scoundrel. See, this is more than I bargained for. Sir John, I'm arrested.
Arrested?
And for a mere song, £150. Sir John, pay this fellow, will you? Or bail me or something while we go to dinner?
Pay? Bail? I'll be damned if I do. Oh, my £500. But 500? Mr. Alfred Evelyn, I want my £500.
I'm going to do a very silly thing. I shall lose both my friend and my money. Just like my luck.
Evelyn... Go to dinner. I'll settle this for you.
Thank you, Graves. Don't go by these appearances, Georgina. I repeat, £10,000 will more than cover my embarrassments. I shall hear from you tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
But you're not going, gentlemen. You too, Glossmore. You Blunt. You Stout. You Smooth.
No, I'll stick by you. As long as you've a guinea to stake.
You don't stop me, sir. No man of common enlightenment would have squandered his substance in this way. Pictures and statues. Bah.
But you all said I could not spend my money better. Oh, the absurdest mistake. I don't fancy I'm going to prison. Oh, why don't you laugh, Sir John?
Sir, this liberty is horrible. Take Sir Frederick's arm, my poor child. Mr. Evelyn, after this extraordinary scene, you can't be surprised that I... soon I'm suffocating.
Dinner is served.
Dinner?
Dinner? Mm, there's a very good smell.
Turtle and venison.
Oh, I'm partial to turtle.
That's right. Stay. But I say, Blunt, South, Glossmore, Sir John, one word. Will you lend me £10 for my old nurse? Smooth. The duper is duped.
Will his horses be sold, Crank you Smooth?
Very possibly, Glossmore. Ah. Fine start. Waiter, a glass of sherry.
They say he must go abroad.
Well, it's the best time of year for travelling.
We're all to be paid today, and that looks suspicious.
Very suspicious.
My dear fellow, you must know the rights of the matter. I wish you'd speak out. What have you really won? Is the house itself gone?
The house itself is certainly not gone, Glossmore, for I saw it in exactly the same place this morning at 10:30.
Ah.
It has not moved an inch.
A letter for you, my lord.
Oh, from Grugenhall. An express. Oh, what's this? They've actually at the 11th hour started, Mr. Evelyn, and nobody knows what his politics are. We shall be beat. The Constitution is gone. Cipher. Oh, this is infamous in Evelyn. Gets into Parliament just to keep himself out of prison.
He's capable of it.
Not a doubt of it, sir.
My dear Sir Frederick. My dear boy, I'm not Flint. If Georgina really loves you, and I'm sure she does, I will never think of sacrificing her happiness to ambition. She is yours. Dine with me at 7 and we'll talk of the settlements.
Sir John!
What is it, Stout?
Sir John, we've been played upon. My secretary is brother to Flash's head clerk. Evelyn had not £300 in the bank.
Bless us and save us. You take away my breath. But then, deadly smooth. The arrest.
Smooth would do anything to oblige. All a trick, depend on it. I've had an express from Grogginhole. They've actually, at the 11th hour, started Mr. Evelyn. And nobody knows what his politics are. Popkins is in despair. Not for himself, but for the country. Sir John, what's to become of the country?
And what could be Evelyn's object?
Object? Do you look for an object in a whimsical creature like that? A man who has not even any political opinions? Object? Perhaps to break off his match with your daughter. Take care, Sir John, or the borough will be lost to your family.
I begin to smell a rat. But it's not too late yet.
My interest in Popkins made me run to Lord Spendquick, the late proprietor of Grogginhole. I told him that Evelyn could not pay the rest of the money, and he told me that Mr. Sharp had just paid it. There's no hope for Popkins. England will rule this day.
Georgina shall lend him the money. I'll lend him. Every man in my house shall lend him. I feel again what it is to be a father-in-law. Sir Frederick, excuse me. You can't dine with me today. And on second thoughts, I see that it would be very unhandsome to desert poor Evelyn now he's down in the world. Can't think of it, my dear boy. Can't think of it. Happy to see you any time, ever, friend. Waiter, my carriage.
What have you been saying to Sir John, Mr. Stout? Something against my character, I know. Don't deny it. Sir, I shall expect satisfaction.
Satisfaction, Sir Frederick? As if a man of enlightenment had any satisfaction in fighting. Did not mention your name. We were talking of Evelyn. He's no more ruined than you are.
Not ruined? Ah, now I understand.
I must be off to the vestry.
Let me see. She's to meet me in the square. Just in time. £10,000. Oh, gad, my blood's up, and I won't be treated in this way if you were 50 times Stingy Jack.
I am certain, Lady Franklin, that poor Evelyn loves Clara still. But you can't persuade me that she cares for him.
She has been breaking her heart ever since she heard of his distress, Mr. Graves. I'm sure she would give all she has could it save him from the consequences of his folly.
I should like just to sound her.
And you shall.
Yes, my lady.
Where are the young ladies?
Miss Veazey is, I believe, still in the square. Miss Douglas has just come in, my lady.
What, did she not go out with Miss Veazey?
No, my lady. I attended her to Drummond's, the banker's.
Drummond's?
Here is Miss Douglas, my lady.
Why, child, what on earth could take you to Drummond's at this hour?
Mr. Graves, how is Mr. Evelyn? How does he bear up against this sudden reverse?
With an awful calm. I fear all is not right in his mind. The report in the town is that he must go abroad instantly.
Abroad?
But all his creditors will be paid. He only seems anxious to know if Miss Veazey remains true in his misfortunes.
Ah, he loves Georgina so much, then.
That's more than I can say.
She told me last night that he said that £10,000 would free him from all liabilities. That was the sum, was it not?
Yes, he persists in the assertion. Miss Veazey lend it?
If she does, I shall not think well of her poor dear mother, for she could be no child of Sir John.
I should like to convince myself that my poor friend has nothing to hope from a woman's generosity.
Civil? And are men then less covetous?
I know one man, at least, who, rejected in his poverty by one as poor as himself, no sooner came into sudden fortune than he made his lawyer invent a codicil which the testator never dreamt of, bequeathing independence to the woman who had scorned him.
And never told her?
Never. There's no such document at Doctor's Commons, depend on it.
How could I be so blind? Oh, generous Evelyn.
You appreciate. And Georgina will desert him. Miss Douglas, he loves you still.
Good day.
Georgina will desert him? Do you think so?
She told me last night that she would never see him again. She's less interested than her father and as much attached as she can be to another. Even while engaged to Evelyn, she has met Sir Frederick every day in the square.
And he is alone, forsaken, ruined. Oh, let us go to him.
His misfortunes are his own fault. A gambler.
Can you think of his faults now? If he loves me still, I may have enough for both.
You cannot go alone. My presence justifies all. Give me your hand. We will go together.
Mm-hmm.
all surpasses my expectations. I am short of Smooth. I have managed even Sharp. My election will seem but an escape from prison. True, it cannot last long, but a few hours are all I require. Ah, Graves. What do people say of me?
Everything that's bad.
3 days ago, I was universally respected. I awake this morning to find myself infamous. Yet I am the same man.
Why, gambling...
Come, it was not criminal to gamble, it was criminal to lose. Will you deny that if I had ruined Smooth instead of myself, every hand would have grasped mine yet more cordially?
Evelyn, I like you. I'm rich, and anything I can do to get you out of your trouble will give me an excuse to grumble for the rest of my life.
My dear friend, you alone are unchanged. But I can extricate myself yet. Do you think Georgina will give me a similar proof of confidence and affection?
Would you break your heart if she did not?
It is in vain to deny that I still love Clara.
What do you intend to do?
If Georgina can face the prospect not of ruin and poverty, but of a moderate independence, if, in one word, she loves me for myself, I will shut Clara forever from my thought. I am pledged to Georgina.
And if she rejects you?
If she do, I am free once more. And then I will dare to ask if Clara can explain the past and bless the future.
A letter for you, sir.
The die is cast. The dream is over. Generous Georgina. I will deserve you yet.
Georgina? Is it possible?
How we misjudge the human heart. I imagined her incapable of this devotion.
And I, too.
I will write at once to undeceive that generous heart. Excuse me.
I would have given £1,000 if that little jade Clara had been beforehand. But just my luck. If I want a man to marry one woman, he's sure to marry another on purpose to vex me.
Take this instantly to Miss Vesey. Say I will call in an hour.
Why does my heart sink within me? Why do I see only the memory of what has been?
You are re-engaged, then, to Georgina?
Irrevocably.
Lady Franklin and Miss Douglas.
My dear Evelyn, you may think it strange to receive such visitors at this moment, but it is no time for ceremony. We are your relations. It is reported you're about to leave the country. We come to ask frankly what we can do to serve you.
Well, madam, I...
Well, do not hesitate to confide in us. Clara is less a stranger to you than I am. Mr. Graves here will perhaps let me consult with him. Let us leave them to themselves.
Miss Douglas, I want words to thank you. This goodness, this sympathy.
Evelyn, goodness, sympathy. I have learned all. It is for me to speak of gratitude. To you, you, I owe all that has raised me from servitude and dependence. While your words were so bitter, your deeds were so gentle. Oh, Evelyn, this then was your revenge.
You owe me no thanks. That revenge was sweet. It was nothing to feel that my presence haunted you, though you knew it not. Even if separated forever, even if another's, even in distant years, if the use of that gold bring to your lips one smile, that smile was mine, due to the hand you rejected, to the love you despised.
Despised? See how when they say you are again as poor as before, I forget the world and my pride and remember only your sorrow. I am here.
And is this the same voice that when I knelt at your feet and asked but one day the hope to call you mine, spoke only of poverty and answered never?
Because I had been unworthy of your love if I had ensured your misery. Evelyn, my father, like you, was poor, generous, gifted, ambitious, sensitive like you to the least insult. He married as you would have done, one whose only dowry was penury and care. Alfred, I saw that ambition wither to despair. I saw the bitter life, the early death, and heard my mother's groan of self-reproach. Was the woman you loved so nobly to repay you thus?
Clara, we should have shared it.
Oh, in marriages like this, the wife cannot share the struggle. She can but witness despair. And so, Alfred, I rejected you.
Yet you believe me as poor now as I was then.
But I am not poor. We are not poor. Of this fortune, which is all your own, if, as I hear, one half would free you from your debts, we have the other half still, Evelyn. it is humble, but it is not penury.
You don't know how you torment me. Why do such blessed words come now? Too late.
Too late? Why?
I am bound by every tie of faith, gratitude, loyalty, and honor to another.
Another? Is she then true to your reverses? I did not know this. Indeed, I did not, and I have thus betrayed myself.
Evelyn, I was hasty yesterday. You must own it natural that I should be so. But Georgina has been so urgent in your defense that I cannot resist her. What's money without happiness? Give me your security. She insists on lending you the £10,000.
I have already received it.
Already received it? Are you joking? Faith, for the last 2 days, I believe I've been living among the mysteries of Udolpho. Sister, have you seen Georgina?
Not since she went out to walk in the square.
She's not in the square, nor in the house. Where the deuce can the girl be?
I have written to Miss Vesey, asking her to fix the day for our wedding.
Have you? Lady Franklin, find her instantly. She must be back by this time. Take my carriage. It is but a step. You won't be 2 minutes gone.
Very well.
And don't be downhearted, my dear fellow. If the worst come to the worst, you will have everything I can leave you. Meantime, if I can in any way help you...
Oh, you too, Sir John.
Mr. Evelyn, sir, a deputation from Grogginghole. Poll closed in the first hour. You are returned.
Indeed. And it was only to please Clara.
Mr. Sharp, I said, how much has Mr. Evelyn lost by Messrs. Flat and Co.?
Oh, a great deal, sir. A great deal.
A great deal?
Speak the truth, Sharp. Concealment is over.
£223.06. A great sum to throw away.
Eh? What, my dear boy, what? All humbug, was it? All humbug, upon my soul. So, Mr. Sharp, isn't he ruined after all? Not the least wee rascally little bit in the world ruined?
Sir, he has never lived up to his income.
Worthy man. I could jump up to the ceiling. I am the happiest father-in-law in the three kingdoms.
Since I was mistaken, cousin, since now you do not need me, forget what has passed. My business here is over. Farewell.
Could you but see my heart at this moment, Clara? With what love, what anguish it is filled. And must we part now? Now, when...
Brother, here she is, and Sir Frederick.
Georgie, my dear Georgie, I want to...
Stand back, Sir John.
I must speak a word to her. I want to speak...
Stand back, I say. Not a whisper, nor a sign. If your daughter is to be my wife, to her heart only will I look for a reply to mine. Georgina, it is true then that you trust me with your confidence, your fortune? Is it also true that when you did so, you believed me ruined? Answer as if your father did not stand there.
What can you mean?
She won't look this way. She won't.
I implore, answer.
The truth, Georgina.
Mr. Evelyn, your fortune might well dazzle me as it dazzled others. Believe me, I sincerely pity your reverses.
Good girl. You hear her, Evelyn?
What's money without happiness?
Clever creature. My own sentiment.
And so, as our engagement is now annulled, Papa told me so this morning, I have promised my hand where I have given my heart to Sir Frederick Blunt.
What? I told you, I? No such thing. No such thing. You frighten her out of her wits, Evelyn. She don't know what she's saying.
But this letter, received today.
Let me see it. Drummond's. From a banker.
Read.
£10,000 placed to your account from the same unknown friend to Alfred Evelyn. Oh, Clara, now I know why you went to Drummond's this morning.
Clara? What? And the former one, written to my nurse with the same signature, on the faith of which I pledged my hand and sacrificed my heart,
was written under my eyes and the secret kept.
Clara, I am free. Forgive me. You love me?
Yes.
We are rich. Rich. I could devote to you my whole life, heart, soul. I am yours, Clara.
A pretty mess you've made of it, Georgina, humbugging your own father.
Oh.
And you, Lady Franklin, I am to thank you for this.
You to thank me that she's not now on the road to Scotland with Sir Frederick. I chanced on them by the path just in time to dissuade and save her. But to do her justice, a hint of your displeasure was sufficient.
You know, Papa, You said this very morning that poor Frederick had been very ill-used.
Ah.
And you'd settle it all at the club.
Come, Sir John, you can only blame yourself and Evelyn's cunning device. After all, I'm no such a very bad match. And as for the £10,000...
I'll double it. Ah, Sir John, what's money without happiness?
Ha! Nonsense stuff. Don't humbug me.
But if you don't consent, you'll have no husband at all.
There's something in that. Double it, will you, Evelyn? Then settle it all tightly on her.
Well, well, my foible is not avarice. Blunt, make her happy. Child, I forgive you.
You fool.
I'm afraid it's catching, Lady Franklin. I feel the symptoms of matrimony creeping all over me. Shall we, eh? Frankly now, frankly.
Frankly now, Mr. Graves. There's my hand.
Accepted. Is it possible? Sainted Maria, thank heaven you are spared this affliction.
How do you do, Alfred? Quite a family party. I intrude, I fear.
Oh, wish us joy, Smooth. Georgina's mine and...
our four friends there have apparently made up another rubber. John, my dear boy, you look as if you had something at stake on the odd trick.
Sir, you are very... Confound the fellow. And he's a dead shot, too.
I'm sure he's of our side, Gaspar. We've all the intelligence.
I'm sure he's of ours, Stout. The misfortune is safe, for we've all the property.
Just heard of your return, Evelyn. Congratulate you. The great motion of the session is fixed for Friday. We count on your vote. Progress with the times.
Preserve the Constitution.
Your money will do wonders for the party. Advance.
The party respects men of your property. Stick fast.
I have the greatest respect, I assure you, for the worthy and intelligent flies on both sides of the wheel. But whether we go too fast or too slow does not, I fancy, depend so much on the flies as on the stout gentleman who sits inside and pays the postboy.
Meaning John Bull. Sir, share, old John.
I'm as wise as I was before.
Sir, he's a trimmer.
Smooth. We have yet to settle our first piquet account and our last. And I sincerely thank you for the service you have rendered me and the lesson you have given these gentlemen. Ah, Clara, you have succeeded where wealth had failed. You have reconciled me to the world and to mankind. My friends, we must confess it. Amidst the humors and the follies, the vanities, deceits, and vices that play their part in the great comedy of life, it is our own fault if we do not find such natures as redeem the rest, brightening the shadows with glimpses of the everlasting holiness of truth and love.
But for the truth and the love, when found to make us tolerably happy, we should not be without...
good health.
Good spirits.
A good heart. Congenial temper.
A proper degree of prudence.
Enlightened opinion.
Constitutional principles.
A little humbug.
And plenty of money.
Money by Edward Bulwer-Lytton, which was adapted for radio by Peggy Wells. John Pullen played Alfred Evelyn and John Gabriel, Sir John Vesey. Clara, Patricia Leventon. Georgina, Valerie Kirkbright. Mr. Graves, Godfrey Kenton. Lady Franklin, Margaret Wolfitt. Lord Glossmore, Hector Ross. Sir Frederick Blunt, Sean Arnold. Captain Smooth, Malcolm Hayes. Mr. Stout, Clifford Norgate. Mr. Sharp, James Thomason. And Mr. Tabaret, Frederick Trees. The pianist was Arthur Tatler. The play was produced by Charles Lefebvre.